And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, tonight, or today, wherever you're at listening to this, whatever time it is, I would like to talk about myths. M-Y-T-H-S. Myths. You know, the Bible warns us about fables of the Jews. Oh, there are fables that the Jews pass around. And the Apostle Paul warned people, don't pay any attention to those fables. And, you know, I'm getting up there in years a little bit, but I'll tell you, I'm still active. I'm ready to go. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes, I mean, my energy just flows out. And that's what I'm feeling today. I would like to tell you about 10 myths of the Jews. 10 myths. Oh, I hope I can get to these 10 today because they're so powerful. You know, Martin Luther, who founded, of course, the Lutheran Church and really was the spark plug of the Reformation. Well, he fought the Catholics and the Pope and called the Pope the Antichrist. And I'll tell you, it was bad back then. It's worse today. No telling what he'd say if he were still alive today. But Martin Luther seemed to like the Jews. Now, he was a German, but he seemed to like the Jews, and he invited the rabbis over to the place where he was staying, the estate. You know, he thought, well, the Jews will be okay. You know, that's, you know, where Jesus came out of, Israel, and surely, you know, the Jews will be, you know, a good, race of people. And he sure did find out some things because he began to study the Jews and their Talmud. Now, that was his downfall when he studied the Talmud, which was their holy book. And what he found in that Talmud was shocking to him. But then he discovered that the Jewish rabbis that he had befriended and told everybody else to befriend, that they really believed in the Talmud, but they did not believe so much in the Bible. And he was astonished at what the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, that has the 613 laws of the Jews, he was astonished to discover that they really didn't care much about the Bible. Oh, they're too educated for that. But they lived by the Babylonian Talmud. It was their daily guide for living. And he was really, really angry to find out that it said the most horrible things about someone that Martin Luther loved. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Martin Luther was a great lover of Jesus Christ. And when he discovered what the Talmud said about Christ, oh my, it calls Christ a blasphemer, a magician, a witch. It says that Christ Jesus is burning in hell today and deserves to be there. And what it says in the Babylonian Talmud, and the rabbis teach their people, and they learn themselves that Mary was a whore. Of course, all of this is not true. None of it is. And he then sought the rabbis to find out whether or not that this was some kind of a hoax. Who wrote this horrible book? Did they believe in it? He discovered that they did believe in it. What they didn't believe was anything that Martin Luther believed, because Martin Luther believed in the grace of Jesus Christ. He ended his life writing a book entitled The Jews and Their Lies. Now, if somebody comes up to you today and says, well, Martin Luther, he was anti-Semite. Did you know he wrote a book entitled The Jews and Their Lies? The best thing to do is to say, yes, I know that. Do you know what that book says? Of course, no one has read it today. And all of Martin Luther's critics who call him anti-Semite, They don't know what the Talmud says if they're a Gentile. They're all a bunch of ignorant cretins who know nothing about what Martin Luther was really doing. Martin Luther discovered everything that was in that Talmud. How it said the best of the Gentiles will be killed. How it said all of the Gentiles will become our slaves. How it said the Jews are superior and the Gentiles are like cattle, goyim. How it told the Jews it was okay to cheat in business. That is, to cheat Gentiles. How it said that a Jew could have sex, an affair, with a Gentile woman, but not a Jewish woman, of course. All these things he discovered. And so he wrote his book, The Jews and Their Lies. And every bit of the book is the truth. I have read the book, and I know. Now, I have studied for about 10 years. Now, Martin Luther was way ahead of me, I'm sure, but I've done my best in 10 years. I also started out believing that the Jews were okay. The Orthodox Jews, I just, you know, thought, well, they haven't accepted Jesus, but they do believe in the Bible. I knew nothing about the Talmud. It was never even mentioned to me. I'd heard something about the laws of the Jews, but I didn't know it was contained in 36 or 64, depending on the edition, volumes. But I have since discovered these myths of the Jews. And what is amazing to me, dear friends, is that Christian evangelicals believe in them. And many other Christians do as well. The works, did you know that nowhere in the United States is the book, The Jews and Their Lives, available? I spent months trying to find a copy of it, of the book. I found an old edition of something published by the Lutheran Press. They let it go out of print. They don't want to go up against the Jews. They don't even publish Martin Luther's works in English today. Now, I made it my task, before I die, I'm going to publish his book, The Jews and Their Lies. So you just be watching for it in my materials. But I want you to know that I've got a lot of it in the book, at least the major part of it. And I inserted it in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. If you want to find out what Martin Luther really believed, go to Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. A little bit later, and I'm going to tell you how to get Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now I want to tell you about these 10 myths. I suspect because you're an American, and Americans have been very generous to the Jews, only about 2.5% of the Jews live in America. Excuse me, let me say that another way. 2.5% of the American people are Jews, okay? But they control our media. They control the evangelical churches, the Pentecostals, the Southern Baptist, the Assembly of God, and so forth. And they put out all these myths that we're to believe. Now, I'm going to debunk every one of them, and I want you to listen up. I wish I had 100 hours to devote to them. I've only got now about 50 minutes left. So please listen up. First of all, the Jews themselves all proclaim these things, and many Christians do as well, and many just people who are not even Christian or atheist believe them because they've heard them so often. First myth, Jews are the chosen people. God's chosen. They're also the eternal people. They're going to be forever. In fact, I have not been able to discover a race called Jews existing anywhere on this planet. And even many rabbis are beginning to admit this. No race called Jews exist on the planet. Now, I have written an entire book on this subject entitled DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. My discovery is this, that modern DNA science, now I know there's some critics out there and there's some Zionists who say, oh no, that's not true. You know, blah, 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 blah. Those are the little people. You're always going to have them out there. There are people that write to me and say, oh, I don't even believe DNA science. It doesn't exist. Well, just because you don't want it to exist, I'm sorry, it doesn't mean anything. Since 1968, when Watson and Crick came up with the double helix and DNA, thousands, tens of thousands of criminals have been convicted because of DNA evidence being found on the scene of their crimes. Millions of people with illnesses have been cured or helped because doctors were able to fathom through DNA assessment how to treat them. That's right, it's used in medical science. DNA is God's mathematics. Everything is created a certain way by the way the DNA is mixed or configured. It's an astonishing thing. And of course, now they're saying that through DNA, through cloning, they can maybe bring back ancient animals even. But I'll get into that some other time. The fact is that historians and archaeologists say that the Jews originated not in Israel, but in a nation called Khazaria that no longer existed. Russia took it over in the 10th century. But it had a king named Bulan. And in the 8th century, he decreed that all the people of his kingdom would become Jews. Now, they were all pagans. They worshiped the male phallus and nature spirits and everything else. He said, we're all going to become Jews. Now, Christianity existed. Islam existed. But this king, for some reason, decided they would be Jews. And it was one of the largest nations in Europe and Asia at the time. So most of the people evidently became Jewish. They were not Jews by race, but by religion. Now, the king particularly liked Judaism, didn't want to be a Christian or even a Muslim, because as a Jew, he could live like King Solomon. He could have a royal court like Solomon and all those women. Oh, yeah. The king of Khazaria had over 60 women. How would you like to have 60 wives? Well, one's enough for me, but that's... I don't know, my head spins at that. The most beautiful women of the kingdom came, and he took them as his wife. And I suspect he had many concubines like Solomon did on the side, besides those. Now, in the 10th century, Khazaria was defeated by the Russian czars. They gobbled it up and took the country. They were just gobbling countries everywhere, weren't they? And many of the people fled, and they immigrated over to Poland, Eastern Europe, and into Hungary and Romania and those areas of Eastern Europe. There they sat as Khazarians, clustered in their little communities. But they were Jews. Now, I want to bring to your mind that they weren't racially Jews, but this is something that they took up. King Bulan even had true Jews, evidently, some of them, from Babylon, come to his country and teach the people their new religion, the Talmud. They became Talmudic Jews. Isn't that something? They didn't worry about the Bible. They worried about the Talmud and all of its, you know, rules you've got to obey. And so there they were in sitting mostly in Poland, but also in other countries as well. And from that vantage point, from the 10th century until the 21st century, they have immigrated elsewhere. You know, once they left Khazaria, went over to Poland and those other European countries, then they went down into France and Germany and Britain, then they went over to the United States, and we have a number of Khazars here. Now, if you're properly talking of who these people are, you call them Khazars. They themselves call themselves Jews. Now, think about this. From the 10th century to the 12th century, they gathered from Khazaria and went over to Poland. And they had been taught that they're better than anybody else. They're Jews. And you know, after a while, they didn't really have any, you know, they had to adopt a language. They adopted Yiddish, or a form of Yiddish. That's where the Yiddish language came from. Not Hebrew, but Yiddish. And some mixed Khazarian in there. And Now, they took some things with them, the strimo, the hat, the fur hat of the Jews. They adopted that. And interestingly enough, one of the national symbols of the Khazars, the six-pointed star. The six-pointed star that's now on the flag. They brought that with them too. It was the symbol that they had used many years ago as pagans when they worshiped the male phallus and believed the sexual regenerative act brought them in a relationship to God. The sex act was holy, and each triangle represented a half of the deity. One was the feminine side, one was the male side. You mix them together, the two triangles, and you get a six-pointed star, the sex symbol. So basically, Judaism is a sex cult. Now, not really being an educated people, the Khazars, over many decades and decades, sticking together, staying together in their own little communities in Eastern Europe, in Poland and so forth, they actually forgot where they came from, who they were. This is not unusual, though, friends. I've mentioned before that when I was a young boy, my dad told us, well, we're all Irish. But when I was 16 years old, I think it was 16, maybe 17, we got a letter in the mail, and somebody had invited us as Marses to the great Scottish clan meeting. So we found out we were Scottish. Since then, I've had some family members to look up the genealogy, and sure enough, we're not Irish, we're Scotch. But I always joke, you know, on St. Patrick's Day, everybody's Irish, right? For one day. This is true of many Americans. I have an English couple. I say they're English because they have an English name. They paid $99 for a DNA assessment, and it came back and said they were Vikings and from Norwegian sources. But they're English. They said, well, we were English, we thought. Well, the Norwegians went over to England. You know, the Vikings went over to England and got all mixed up in there. And so they didn't even know what they were, but it didn't matter to them. It was just sort of interest. It was fun. Now, my mother says she's mostly French, but she has a little bit of Indian. So I guess I'm Scottish and French and a little bit of Indian. I don't know what all I am. I'm just American. And that's what most Americans are. Now, we come over here as groups, as Italians, as Irish, as African Americans and all that. And, you know, in 50 years, 100 years' time, we don't even know what we were. If many of the Africans get their DNA assessed, many of them will find that they have white blood. Or they maybe came from a certain tribe or whatever. Maybe they're Somalians. Maybe they're Ethiopians. You know, all of those tribes, believe it or not, look different over in Africa. In any case, these Khazars, as it turns out, the DNA research shows that 92% of all of the Jews in the world, there are only 18.5 million Jews in all the world, and 92% of them are Khazars. None of them that I can find are Israelites. None of them, not any of them. So when a man comes up to you and says, I'm a Jew, what you know is he says he's a Jew, but he's a Khazar. Now they'll get mad at you. They'll insist they're a Jew. They get angry. I have a guy the guy's bugging me to death. How dare you say I'm a Khazar? Well, goodness sakes, what's wrong with being a Khazar? I'm not a Khazar, I'm a Jew. I'm sorry, you're not a Jew. You're not of the blood of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Jews, so-called, are Khazars, and in Israel, they cannot trace their heritage all the way back. They can trace their heritage to the 8th century in Khazaria. The Khazarians never, never, never put one toe down, one foot down in Israel. They're aliens to it. They're illegal aliens there. Now, in 1948, believing all this baloney about Palestine being Israel, all these Khazars, or a bunch of them, said, I'm going to go down to Israel, which was Palestine at the time, and I'm going to claim it as my homeland. That's a little bit like the Japanese coming down to Indiana and saying, this is my homeland. I don't think many people in Indiana would allow that, do you? Or maybe the Chinese going in New Jersey saying, well, 5,000 years ago, God gave us the title of this land. Well, I'd say, well, here's a rail, ride it out of town. I don't want you here. You're not going to take my land. These Khazars went to Israel and said, well, God gave us this land 5,000 years ago. Well, who did he give it to? Abraham. Well, you're not of Abraham. Get out. Now, the Palestinians who've lived there for many centuries, they deserve the land. And as it turns out, many of the Palestinians are Jews, probably. At least they have more Jewish blood coursing through their veins than do the Khazars. Now, this just, I mean, this has been history and archaeology for many years, but the Khazars denied it. And I'll never forget in the 70s, a great writer and historian named Arthur Kessler wrote a book called The 13th Tribe. He was Jewish, but he said, I am Khazar. And almost all of the so-called Jews are Khazars. The guy was hounded, and he actually went and killed himself about, you know, I don't know, 7 or 8 years later. He was hounded to his death by Zionists who said, I am not a Khazar. I mean, I could have done the same thing. I could have said, I am not a Scotchman. I'm an Irishman. Oh, woe is me. Now, here's the problem. It didn't matter if I was a Scotchman or an Irishman, but it matters to the Khazar. You know why? Because he has long claimed he's a Jew, and as a Jew, he gets more things. He gets more material goods. For one thing, he goes over to Israel or to Palestine and stole all the land and stole the shops and stole the businesses and stole the farms and the orchards. He stole them because the Khazars of Poland were all communist. We'll talk more about that later. The communist Poles, all of them were from Poland, practically, that came over in 1948. You were never told about that in your history books, were you? They were from Poland, and Poland was a communist country, taken over in 1944 by the Soviet Union. And it was run by the Jews, the Khazars. Until the 80s, Poland was run by the communists who were Khazars. But they call themselves Jews. All right. So now we have DNA science to confirm that Jews are not the chosen people. They're not the eternal people. They were not around before. They suddenly showed up in the 10th century. Now, this is the way God does things. He just confounds what we think we know. I mean, millions of evangelical Christians running around saying, oh, we've got to bless the Jews. They're of Abraham, and we've got to bless them, and oh, we got to help them rebuild their temple, and we got to give them military arms, and it's okay if they kill all the Palestinians, because I mean, the Palestinians shouldn't even be there, and look, those Khazars, the Jews have returned, they have had Eliyah, praise God, God gave them back the land. Well, they never owned it in the first place. Do you see the significance of this? God knew about this before because in Revelation 2 and 3, he said, listen to this now, God said for us to beware of them who said they're Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's who the synagogue of Satan are, the Khazars. They say they're Jews, but now DNA science, God's mathematics, proves they're not. They have hoodwinked millions of Americans, and all over the world people are hoodwinked. And Tex Mars, humble little Tex Mars from Austin, Texas, has written the book to expose these Khazars. this book ought to be at the top of the bestsellers list. Not because I'm a great writer. I'm a pretty shoddy writer, to be honest with you. Not because I have great ideas. I don't have any great ideas. But I put what has been discovered in DNA in a book. And in history and archaeology in a book. And you take history and archaeology and you wed it up with DNA, and what do you have? You have the book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And man, the Khazars are going absolutely bonkers. But the DNA scientists who discovered this truth, they're laughing about it, I suppose. And here's the amazing thing, they're all Jews. They're Khazars, and they don't mind. You know, Isaac Asimov, the great science fiction writer, he had studied world history. Hey, in fact, he wrote several books. One of them was about the history of the world. Wasn't just a science fiction writer. But Isaac Asimov, right before he died in 2002, he wrote an autobiography entitled It's a Good Life. He said, I've often been asked, am I a Khazar or a Jew? Well, he said, when I was born, my family said, you're a Jew. But I really don't know. I could be a Khazar. Who cares? Now, that's the attitude. Who cares? Well, people that want to be special, that want to be God's chosen, who want to say, I can be traced all the way back, which they cannot, they're liars, all the way back to Abraham. I'm one of the 12 tribes. They don't know which tribe, of course. I'm one of the eternal people. I'm the apple of God's eyes. No, they're not. No, they're not. What they are is the synagogue of Satan. Why? Because they hate Jesus Christ. They do not believe in him. Now, the Messianic Jews say, I believe in Christ, but they run around and say, but I'm better than you. I'm a Jew. They're not. They're deceived fools. They're fools. How do I know that? The Bible says so. Isn't the Bible great? The Bible tells us of the foolishness of genealogies. It says that exactly. The foolishness of genealogies. Do you pay attention to genealogies? Or you're a respecter of persons? Then God says you are a fool. That's a fable, he says. 1 Timothy 1 verse 4. Titus 4. Just read Titus and you'll get it. I forget what verse it is. I think it's, you'll read it there in Titus. Titus 4. 1 Timothy 1 verse 4. It says, pay no heed to genealogies. Don't mean pay them any mind. They're unprofitable. They're vain. Oh yeah, they're vain. These people are arrogant. They're prideful. All of these so-called, Messianic Jews are a bunch of pride seekers. Unprofitable, vain. This is what's important. Do you know Jesus Christ is Lord? Then I'm going to give you some good news. Galatians 3 verse 29. Engrave this, in your forehead. No, don't do that. I'm only kidding. But it should be, maybe. And if you're of Jesus, it says, and if ye be Jesus's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. Doesn't have anything to do with blood. It has to do with spirit. If you're of Jesus Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It is a spiritual blessing. That's it. Galatians 3:29. The Bible has the answer. The Bible has the answer. When we return, we're going to be talking more about the myths. I only got to one. I'm really going to have to go fast. And I'll do it. I'm Tex Mars. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. I want to tell you about two great books. Two great books that will put you on the right path about the Jews. And who they really are, what their mindset is, and what the Bible says about the Jews. No books have ever been published like these, and I want you to have each one of them. One is entitled Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It'll tell you where the Six-Pointed Star came from. It'll tell you about all the religious nonsense of the Jews. It'll even tell you about Zionism and the Rothschilds and much more. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star for $30. It's a big book, like an encyclopedic type book. Then there's another book I've just done that's really causing ripples out there because it's God's Mathematics, DNA Science, and the Jewish Bloodline. Boy, you put those together. Now we know what the Jewish bloodline is. It's not those people over in Israel. That's synagogue of Satan. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Now, that book is $20. Both of these books together will be delighted to send you for $45. Now, send $5 for each book for shipping and handling. That's $55 for the set, the Jewish set, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, and Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. A total of $55. Now, if you just want one of the books, well, then order DNA Science for $20 or Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star for $25 and add $5 shipping and handling. And we'll get the books right out to you. All right? Now, just send us your payment to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can also go to our website and order there through PayPal or your charge card. And that, of course, is powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Now, you can phone us during the work week, and a very friendly receptionist will help you out. And that is 1-800-234-9673. Of course, we're having a fundraising drive now for our employees, If you want to help our employees a little bit, then please send a love gift or maybe an additional love gift with your money for these books. And make sure it's designated for the employees, the employee fund, our staff here. We do this once a year because we know they don't really get paid enough. We do the best we can, and if you'll help out, well, together we'll pay them what, you know, is necessary. Because they do serve you. Everyone here serves God first and then serves you, the customer, I guess you could say, second. And then every once in a while they do what text wanted to say. And I'm not just joking about that. That's true. But anyway, that's sort of our policy and what we believe. All right. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the 10 myths of the Jews. Now I'm going to work very fast on these myths because we've got 9 more to go. Took half the program, just the first one. But it was the most important one, wasn't it? Well, the second myth is that Israel is God's eternal kingdom. Well, we know that for 2,000 years, actually 1,900 years, Israel didn't even exist as a nation. And the matter, it's not going to be around very much longer because God in Galatians 4 through 6 talks about the Israel of God. It's a spiritual nation. But the physical nation is an evil place. And the kingdom has been taken away from it. How do I know this? Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 21, verse 43, Jesus told the Jews, "The kingdom is taken from you and given to another nation that will bear fruit." Isn't that amazing? I have never heard a sermon by a pastor in my entire life until Tex Mars did it. Think about that, friends. That's Jesus' words. Why don't you believe him? Now, you believe all these evangelical preachers. Oh, Israel is so wonderful. Oh, Israel is God's eternal kingdom. Israel is this. Oh, they've got the blessing. They've got all. They don't have the kingdom at all. Jesus said, the kingdom is taken from you. And Jesus talked about all the bad things that were going to happen very soon. the temple would be destroyed. He said, not one stone will be left upon another. That happened in 70 AD. He said, when you see these things, get out. Jesus prophesied in Matthew 23. He said, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. Desolate. You know, I've had Christians write to me and they say, we send money to Jewish organizations in Israel to help build them up for God's kingdom. What? God doesn't want, he took the kingdom away from them. And then he said, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. You're trying to undo what God did. My goodness gracious. Paul in Galatians chapter 4 through 6 said, the Jews are cast out and they no longer have the promise. They don't have the promise. He specifically said Jerusalem. He said that Abraham and Sarah is the mother of us all, except the people of Israel. They're of Agar, the bondwoman, the slave. And the slave will not inherit the kingdom. Man, what's their destiny? Jesus said, slay them. You said, I've never seen that in the Bible. Yeah, read it, one of the parables. Jesus said, slay them. Now, some Khazars will be saved, just a few. And maybe some Jews will be saved in Romans. What we know is there are still some that will be saved by Jesus Christ. I praise God for he doesn't totally turn away. But if you trust in Jesus, then you will be saved regardless of your race or your creed or whatever. Well, your creed, you got to believe in Jesus. Now, myth 3, Jerusalem is the eternal city. No, it's not. It's the city where the beast of hell rises up out of the pit. What? You've never heard that before? Well, go to Revelation 11. In Revelation 11, verse 9, you find out this city is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. What two worst names can you give a city? This is a hellish city. Now, I'm not making this up, friends. Go to Revelation. Read Revelation 11. The beast of hell comes up out of the earth there. I mean, this is an evil, evil city. The two witnesses are even slain there. Sodom and Egypt. It's not the Holy Land. Boy, this is really the unholy land. Paul, realizing this would occur, said of all of the prophets and of all of the saints, he said, on this planet, here we have no continuing city. Now, I know all of the liars out there saying Jerusalem is our eternal city. No, it's not. It's not. It's an evil place. Here we have no continuing city. In Hebrews, you'll find that. But we have a city that we look toward, a heavenly city. Ah, yes. You see the difference? There's the carnal, which is Jerusalem, that city that is. And then there's the spiritual, which is the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. And you and I are members of the New Jerusalem once we know Jesus Christ. If you want the old city, well, you can have it. Sodom and Egypt, you want that? Okay, it's yours. For me, I'll take the New Jerusalem, the spiritual city, the city of God. Now, myth 4, Judaism. Well, Judaism is just like Christianity. They just don't have Christ. They still believe in the Old Testament. They don't have the New Testament. That's about all I can say about Judaism. Yeah, well, then you don't know very much, friends. That's what your pastor will tell you. I've talked to dozens of pastors, and that's all they know. Well, the Orthodox Jew is a really good person. You know, their religion is just like mine, except they don't believe in the New Testament in Christ. They believe in the Old Testament. They're really good people. No, they're not. Their city is Sodom and Egypt. they're not of the Israel of God. And listen to this. Their religion, Judaism, is one of the most, I think it is the most, wicked religions on this planet. Judaism is based on the traditions of men. That's what Jesus said. It hasn't changed. The Encyclopedia Judaica say that Phariseeism of old, of Jesus' time, is the Orthodox Judaism of today. It's based on the Babylonian Talmud and the Kabbalah, the traditions of men. Did you know that you can become a rabbi and study for years and years, and when you graduate and you go out into the world as a rabbi, you have yet to read in your seminary or in your yeshiva, as it's called, one page of the Old Testament? Now, that shocks people. You know what? That shocks you. Oh, the rabbis, they must study the Old Testament every day. They never study the Old Testament. That is a myth. They study books like the Zohar, where they worship many gods. Now, you talk to a rabbi, he'll say, we only have one God. That's a lie. You'll find by studying their Kabbalah that they have many, many, many gods. At least 9 or 10, and then a lot of subsidiary deities. Did you know they worship Moloch, the ancient god Moloch? But they've changed Moloch a little bit. Now he's the queen of Judaism. He is a she. Her name is Malkuth, M-A-L-K-U-T-H. Now they'll run away from you when you start telling them what their own religion is, because it's true. And why don't you go to Google it up, say, the Kabbalah, the religion, and study who Malkuth is. She's the queen. They have what they call a tree of life, and they have all these gods in it. A tree of life. They have Malkuth, or Moloch, the queen. You'll find something, I hope, if you have a kid, if you have a child with you, please send them to another room. My goodness. Because this queen has frequent sex with another deity, a penis deity. This is too sickening to even talk about. A deity whose name is Hesod, H-E-S-O-D. The queen has sex with Hesod. What is Hesod? He's the penis deity. They even have a serpent deity. In fact, that's the supreme deity, the serpent. His name is Leviathan. He rises up out of the abyss. And when he rises into the sunlight, then will the Jews come into their kingdom. Their Messiah is called Leviathan, the serpent. This is no joke. This is true. All of these are their gods and goddesses. Now, Judaism also has a numerological system. Oh, they're big on numerology. They call it the Gemara. They believe the number 666 is holy, is sacred, and has, quote unquote, lofty messianic potential. That's their Messiah, the serpent, will be numbered 666, and they think that's just great. That's what their Kabbalah says. Haven't you read that all the movie stars love the Kabbalah? They're really into it. Bill Clinton, he's been studying the Kabbalah. Bill Clinton, Britney Spears, Madonna. Oh, they're all into the the Kabbalah. Number five, myth five. Israel was refounded as a nation in 1948, and that was a miracle of God after almost 1900 years to become a nation again. A miracle. No, it was a miracle, all right, of the United States of America. Because it was in 1948 that two people in all the world colluded together to make Israel a nation again. Who were those two people? One was President Harry Truman. And one was Joseph Stalin of Soviet Russia. They got their heads together and they agreed that Israel would become a nation again. But Truman said, I don't believe in it should become a Jewish nation, just a nation. I have the document he signed in my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. The document, the actual document, and it's also in Conspiracy, the Six Point Story, the document that President Truman signed that made Israel a nation in 1948. They brought him this document and said, please sign this, Mr. President. And he lined through the word Jewish. And it says state. They said, you lined through this word. It's got to be the Jewish state. He said, no, it doesn't. I'm not going to make you the Jewish state. You're just another nation. Have you ever heard that before? I bet this is the first time you've ever heard this in the world. You did not know that Harry Truman, being given millions of dollars as a bribe, B-R-I-B-E, the FBI has now put out the name of the Jewish spy. His name, Abraham Feinberg. I talk about him in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. He was a spy. He operated as a psionym. He had a network of spies under him, all working for the Jews against America. Feinberg was one of the guys that even stole the atomic bomb plans from the United States. Oh, what a crud that guy was. But Truman needed him to become president. He didn't have enough money for his campaign. And Feinberg said, if you will make Israel a nation, we will give you millions. And he did. The FBI has released this information now. It's the truth. Joseph Stalin also agreed with Truman. Isn't that amazing? A commie nation and a bribed capitalist country. It was not a miracle of God. It was a miracle of degradation and humiliation of a bribery. The first president of Israel actually was prime minister, David Ben-Gurion. That was not his real name. It was not a real name. He had a Khazarian name. He changed his name. He came over from Poland. He was a Pole. He was a Marxist-Leninist. All of the Jews, so-called, Khazars, that came from Poland were communists. They were butchers, butchers of men back in communist Poland. To this day, every prime minister of Israel has come from Poland. What if I told you every president of the United States came from, let's say, Hungary or Czechoslovakia or Poland? You'd say, wow, Poland sure has a lot of influence. This was the agreement, you see, between Stalin and Truman. And Stalin gave the Khazars all of these weapon systems. They had the army, they had the weapon, and they came into Palestine and began to maraud and kill and steal from the Palestinians. The first prime minister was David Ben-Gurion. That was not his real name. He was a fake, a Khazar, not even a Jew. And every prime minister since, Begin, I mean, name them all, Yitzhak Rabin, all of these people. Now, there is one person that was not a Polish guy, Benjamin Netanyahu. He was born in Israel. But his father came from Poland. He is also a Polish Khazar. When he came to America, and just like it was like Joseph Stalin, everybody was applauding him as he spoke to our Congress. He said, God gave us the title to the land 5,000 years ago. That was an absolute lie. And they got up and they applauded the man for lying. Now, Israel is a prejudiced nation. Prejudiced. Did you know that there have been a number of blacks that immigrated to Israel? Yeah. From Northern Africa. There's even been an Indian tribe. They say they've got Jewish blood. I don't know whether they do or not, whether DNA has really been done on these. But Israel shows all the world, look, we're accepting this black tribe in. They're going to live here in Israel. What they don't tell you is, once they're in Israel, they're dead meat. Just recently, the lost tribe of Dan came from Africa. And oh, the whole world saw it on airplanes. They came over, hundreds of them. Now it's come out that they gave all the women birth control without their permission. They don't want blacks in their country. They're going to give them birth control, sterilize them without their permission. They brought in Yemeni so-called Jews. They were darker than Israelis. And dark Jews are no good. And the Yemeni, they took all the children and said, we're going to do something good for you for health. Many of you have ringworms. So they took and they radiated their feet. All of the Yemeni kids from Yemen, they gave them radiation. They gave them enough of a dosage to kill them all. And the death rate has been humongous. They bring in these foreign blacks and browns and kill them. They're murderers. Now, myth number seven. The Palestinians in 1948 were under terrible pressure from the Khazars. And the Khazar Jews, Ben-Gurion and the others, put out the word that they were going to die if they stayed at home. We're going to kill you. And they went in one village after another, murdering and massacring the Palestinian people. And they all left. They were all frightened. In one village, a village called Deir Yassin, D-E-I-R, capital Y-A-S-S-I-N, hundreds of people were murdered and stuffed down water wells. You better believe the people left immediately. The people of Palestine had no army. They had no weapons. They were living in peace until the Khazars came. I have read evangelical Christians that lied and said, you know what? When the Khazar Jews came into Israel in 1948 and took it, the Palestinians are so prejudiced against those poor Jews that they went out to live in tent cities, in refugee camps, out in the desert. They would prefer to live in the desert than have to live next door to a Jew. That's how prejudiced the Palestinians are. I heard that. I was shocked. This is a myth. The myth is they all left their homes and their towns and their villages and went out into the desert to live. Have you ever been to the desert in Israel in the middle of the summer? And they lived as refugees in these tents? And it was all because they didn't like the Jews? Are you kidding me? Number eight. Israel wealth. The Jews are wealthy. They're the wealthiest people in the world. Just go to Forbes magazine or Fortune. Look at the Fortune 500 corporations. You'll find that many of them are owned by the Jews. Wall Street is made up of Jews, of course. And the myth is it's because of their smartness, their intelligence, and their hard work. Well, in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I give you the information from an interesting book published in 2002. The book's title is IQ and the Wealth of Nations. It ties, in chart form, all of the nations of the world and tells you how rich they are. Now get this. Israel is not wealthy because they're so smart. The Jews are not smart. In fact, they're 34th in the world in IQ. I guess they're like in the top one-third or something, or at the bottom of it. Of all the nations in the world, the Jews, the Khazars really, the Khazars, their IQ averages 93 on the IQ scale. How smart is that? It makes them the 34th smartest nation in the world. They have the same IQ as the Mongolians. Did you just hear me? Mongolia has an IQ of 93 on the average, and the Jews have a 93 on the average. What is the IQ of Americans, the United States? 98. We're 5 points above Israel. The Americans as a whole, and that's counting all the blacks in America. That's counting all the Hispanics in America. And, you know, the blacks, they obviously don't, as a whole, don't score as well. And neither do the Mexicans, the Mexican-Americans. But even with that group, those two groups, we still average 98. The Israelis are not smart at all. They're 34th in the world, and America is much smarter than them in IQ, even counting all the blacks and the Mexicans in America. We're a much smarter country. That's why America has given Israel, since 1948, we have given the Khazars trillions of dollars in aid money. They would collapse as a nation without us. How are they wealthy? Why do they have money then in the United States? Because they steal it. The ninth myth is the miracles of their wars against the Arabs. In 48 as a nation, in 67, in 73, and then more recently a war against southern Lebanon. They won those wars miraculously. Folks, they won those wars because they had American weapons, many of them high-tech. When we have new high-tech weapons come out, the U.S. government gives them first to the Israelis. They get the weapons before the U.S. military does. I should know. I've talked to the generals. I was in the U.S. Air Force for over 20 years. I saw what happened when we had a new electronic countermeasure that protected our aircraft from missiles and such. We gave it to the Jews first over the Khazars over in Israel. Because we have all these filthy spies in the Pentagon and everything that work for the Jews and don't really care about America. Oh, they're born here, but they don't care. In 48, they had no opposition. The Palestinians didn't have any weapons. In 67, they won that because they surprise attacked the Arabs. Surprise attacked the Arabs. The Jews carried out unprovoked war, and, you know, they won it. In 1973, though, they were about to lose. Golda Meir was the prime minister. They were losing. And she begged President Nixon and Kissinger, please help us. We're about to go under. And Nixon used our big, gigantic C-5A craft and saved them. Save their bacon or they'd be dead meat today. Recently, they went into Lebanon and they lost. Did you hear that in the newspapers? They quickly withdrew. They withdrew from southern Lebanon because they lost. Now, the tenth. You've seen that Wailing Wall where all of our presidents, all of our politicians go over to Israel and they go with a little Jewish rabbi and they go to that wall and they write out a prayer and they put in the crack and they say that's the Wailing Wall. The Wailing Wall. It's what's left of the great temple. Lie. Jesus said not one stone will be left upon another. Every stone was turned on. There was no stones left in 70 AD when Titus came in and tore it all up. And then he built a fort, Fort Antonia. That is Fort Antonia. That's the wall of a Roman fort. They even lie about their own Wailing Wall. It's a myth. This has been Tex Mars. Been wonderful being with you. I'm bringing you the 10 myths of the Jews. Why? I want you to know the truth. The Bible is the most lovely, beautiful, truthful instrument. Why don't we use it? All these things are told us. Look at the Wailing Wall. Jesus said not one stone would be left on another. The Jews come up and say, that's our wall. Look at all those stones, one upon another. They lie. Why do we believe them? Why don't you believe Jesus when he said the kingdom is taken from you Jews? Why don't you believe him? I do. I suspect that you do too, don't you? I believe I'm preaching to the choir. God bless you for believing in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the saints. They tell the truth about Israel. They tell the truth about the Khazars. Believe the truth. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.